States, born in Denver, Colorado, and graduated from high school and college in Oklahoma, and never once thought I would be preaching in Louisiana at the age of 59. It just hadn't come into my mind. But now that I'm here, I'm very thankful. And to come from that time to this, I had to be converted and had to be drug out of this world. And I just marvel. I can't believe I'm getting to preach about Jesus Christ when all my plans were in another sphere. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. What grace we have to be gathered together in Christ's name. I want to remind you before we open our Bibles to a verse in Isaiah where Isaiah prophesied, said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And I want to turn to a passage in the New Testament where we see the Prince of Peace ruling over all. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4, and we'll read some verses out of Mark chapter 4, which is really the introduction to Mark chapter 5, where I'll be doing most of my preaching. Someone asked me, "What are you preaching on?" And I answered wrongly. I said, "I'm preaching on the demoniac." That was all wrong. I'm preaching on the Prince of Peace who saved a demoniac. In Mark chapter 4, we begin reading with the word, verse 35. And as we go through these verses all the way down to Mark chapter 5 and verse 20, we're going to see the Prince of Peace calm the wild waves. We'll see the Prince of Peace calming a wild soul. We'll see the Prince of Peace rejected by men, and the Prince of Peace declared to men. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, let's read the Word of God. "On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?' Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him," that is, Christ said to him, "'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who had fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for this astounding grace to be able to read of the Lord Jesus, to know for sure what he said and what he did and what he accomplished. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would turn our eyes upon him. You'd help us to understand what he has said. And Lord, you would transform us into his image. And we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I hope that we've not grown so dull of reading this passage that we didn't marvel. Have you ever found yourself like that? You're looking at a passage and everybody else is marveling and you're not. And may the Lord give us grace to enter into what is said here of Christ. You see in the verses we read in Mark, you saw the Prince of Peace calming the wild waves. And we know that no man spake like this man, but no man ever spoke to the winds and the waves, and they just ceased. And that's what the men said. They feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, we're looking back at the Son of God, and we know he is the Son of God, and they are understanding that he is the Son of God. And having doubts, these are men who doubted about the resurrection. They had been told many times he's going to rise in 3 days, and he rose in 3 days, and they're still wondering about it. And so they're learning about Christ, and they're astounded at one who has such great power, because I'm sure many times they would have liked to have been able to do that. When the winds rose up, if they could just speak and calm the seas, it would have been a lot easier. But of course, this is only for Jesus Christ to be able to do this as God, speaking and in control of all things. It's sort of unfortunate we have a chapter division right here, because they could have easily included that with the next, and we would see how they are so importantly joined together. Because it says right after that in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes." So you see, these things are happening right on top of one another. The seas are calmed, and the very first thing they find out, there's this demoniac who meets them right off the boat. I mean, this man is wilder than the storm, if you will. And if you put all of the passages together, you have to read in Matthew and Luke, it's most in detail spoken of here in Mark, but Luke tells us that he wouldn't wear any clothes. And he was going up and down the hillsides. And this man undoubtedly was known by all. He was almost proverbial that here is this man who is so insane. And they would tell their children about him, probably tell them, "Don't go up in that area because you might run into this man." And point after point after point is made here. I turn sometimes to Mark, because it's the only one that says he actually tore the chains apart. It's kind of a I say, a guy thing. We like to think about these metal chains that he could not be held by. And he was obviously demon-possessed. Our Pentecostal brethren and friends tend to think that a demon is in everything. And if there is true demon possession, we would expect to see something supernatural. I think many are just overcome by the flesh and are residing in the sin of the flesh. But here this man obviously is demon-possessed. And we saw the Prince of Peace calming the wild waves, but here we see him calming the wild demoniac. I don't know if any of you have ever known somebody like this. There are people in this world who are demon-filled, who cannot be controlled. They're in straitjackets. And the encouraging thing is that Jesus can save them. I have not had the privilege of going to East Hospital here. I've wanted to. I've tried to get in there because in one of the places they have no church service on Sundays. I think it's atrocious. And I went into one of those wards, and there are some very deranged people there. But what would the gospel do to deranged ears if they heard it? Because this man came into the presence of Christ, and the Lord saved him. You notice he didn't save him because he was good enough to be saved, because he had the right answers. He really misunderstood everything. I mean, here he is wanting to call on the Father to do something about the Son. Well, the Son and the Father are on the same page in everything. And so his mind was completely deranged. He was affected in his mind, will, and emotions. And if you look at the enemy who is doing this, this is demon possession. Satan cannot destroy God. And he cannot dethrone God. And so what does he try to do? He tries to deface the image of God in man. And don't think that this could never happen to you. Give yourself to sin. Let sin take its course. Invite the enemy into your life, and you will find out how wicked and wretched he is. And I say that all of us might flee. Anytime you invite sin into your life, you're asking the devil to take over at some measure. And the fact that we don't see this in everyone is just the grace of God, because this is where it will go if the enemy has his way. Let us consider some of the things here that the Lord Jesus Christ did. You notice that it is Christ who is in charge here. The demons, though they seem to be running this man, they know who this is. And it tells us in the book of James that the demons know Christ, they know God, and they tremble. And here there is a feigned worship, but even these demons have to ask permission. They obey, and Christ does the commanding. Doesn't this remind you of the book of Job, where every day the enemy is coming before the Lord and actually received permission to afflict Job, and God used that. And to this very day, the enemy cannot do anything, but there is permission. He is not in charge. He's not omnipotent. And we see that in the Lord Jesus, that he is the one who's doing the commanding. Let's notice some other things. You notice that the Lord here worked in process of time. When he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, it seemed like it didn't happen instantly. And that's by the Lord's design too, because you notice he asks him a question, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion." Brother Hendrickson, in his commentary on Mark, says that it may be the Lord Jesus wanted the demoniac to understand really how bad your situation is, that you have many demons that are afflicting you, and to show greater glory in that he's not just casting out one, as it were, he's casting out a legion of demons. So the Lord does work by a process of time. You notice a number of contrasts here. And let's look at the end of this, the blessing of this as we make the contrast. You notice that it says in verse 15, after the Lord Jesus had delivered this man, those who came saw one who had been demon-possessed in verse 15 and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Now, if you just came upon that scene, he'd look I guess, wonderful. I think he'd have a smile on his face. He's looking at the Lord Jesus, hoping he can be the 13th disciple, planning on the question. He's, Lord, can I just be with you wherever you are? I don't care where you go. I'll sleep on the ground with you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so they're seeing this person. He's completely transformed. It's one that they told the stories about. Children, don't go up there because of that wild man. And you see him sitting clothed and in his right mind. And we'll discuss those or look at those things more. But just in terms of the passage here, you see one who he was doing anything but sitting, right? He was running up and down the hills and cutting himself with stones. He wasn't sitting. He was clothed. The book of Luke tells us he was without clothes. And in his right mind, he was not in his right mind. He was completely deranged in all of his ways. And so you see many contrasts. Let's consider some others. He once was in the tombs, and now he's alive with the saints. He was filled with unclean spirits, and now he has the Holy Spirit. No one could bind him, and now he's bound with the cords of Christ's love. He was a slave of sin, and now he's a slave of righteousness. Before he sought to break the chains of God's law, and now he's bound with God's law in his heart. He once was self-destructive, and now he's being instructed at the feet of Christ. That's what the other Gospels say. He was sitting at the feet of Christ. Before his worship was pretended and false, and now his worship is true in spirit and in truth. Once he spoke for the devil, and now he speaks for Christ. Many wonderful and great contrasts in this man. So you see, the Prince of Peace has calmed the wild demoniac and made him sitting clothed and in his right mind. And then you see we go into the next area here, and we have the Prince of Peace being rejected of men. This is so sad, that he would perform such a great miracle. I mean, 2,000 swine going down, filled with demons that had been in this man, legion. And instead of them coming out and saying, our prayers are answered. I mean, we have talked about him, and he was probably somebody's uncle, somebody's grandfather possibly, and now he's doing great. And they should have inquired of the Prince of Peace, but you notice they said, no, we want you to leave these parts, and probably said, don't ever come back. You see, what have they been doing? I mean, this is, why are Jews having swine? 2,000 of them, that's a lot of swine. I mean, if they were out in the yard here, we couldn't see the end of them. They'd just go on and on. And they weren't even allowed to eat pork. And you think about, well, why would they do this? Well, if you know anything about raising cattle, and we have some cattlemen here, and raising swine can have like 9-10 piglets at a time. I mean, you're talking about growing a herd of swine quick. Why wait around? Every year it takes a year to have a calf. You can make a lot more money and feed a lot more mouths with swine. And so they were sinning against the Lord. They were not obeying his clear commandment. And then the Prince of Peace comes and heals this man. And they hate him for it. You know, we have to be careful. We see their evil. This is what we were like before Christ saved us. We did not rejoice in that which is good. We rejoiced in that which is evil. And we have to thank the Lord for his mercy. But this is where we would be. I oftentimes put myself in the scriptures as one of these who owned the most of those swine. And reviled the Lord Jesus the most and said, get out of here. Isn't this what men do? He was despised and rejected of men. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. If it was left to any of these men, they would have left this man in his trial, right? They'd rather have the swine there and this man running up on the hillsides than one soul delivered from hell and have their animals that are going to perish. What salvation the Lord has wrought in our hearts. And then you see in the end, the Prince of Peace, was rejected of men, but not of this man. He wanted to be the 13th disciple, but the Lord said, no, I have something else for you. He's going to be declaring the Prince of Peace to men. He says in verse 18, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. I mean, can you put yourself in this man's place? Lord Jesus, I know you only have 12 disciples, but can I just sort of have my binoculars and just kind of follow you around wherever you are? And if you need any extra help, maybe there's a 13th hand you need, I'll be there. I love this. He begged him. I mean, children, you know how to beg. And if you ever begged God, Lord Jesus, please, I want to go with you. Surely there's enough room in the boat for me too. However, Jesus did not permit him. That could have made him sad. But said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Well, maybe he did become the 13th disciple. And notice where he's proclaiming this, in Decapolis. Well, you know what a decathlon is in the Olympics. That's the 10 events, right? Deca means 10. Decapolis is a place of 10 cities. He didn't get to be with the disciples, but he got to go to 10 cities and tell all of his friends, and he might have made some friends along the way, you never know, of all that Jesus had did for him. I don't know if that, I mean, this open-air preaching, what he did, or he went house to house, friend to friend. And can you imagine what he had to tell? Quite a story of what he had done. I mean, there were thousands of demons, and they probably didn't believe the story. And I'd been cutting myself with stones. They don't believe it. Well, he pulls up his robe there, and there's all the scars of where he cut himself. And I was crying out day and night. I was uncontrollable. But they could see he's a man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind telling this story. A transformation by the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus. We read in the verses before in our call to worship, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is what Christ has given us, a peace that passes all understanding. And how do we have that peace? We were at war with God. We were completely at enmity with God. And Jesus Christ came and subdued our heart, having paid for all of our sins upon the cross, washing away all of our iniquities, cleansing our hearts of all that filth, forgiving us, and granting his peace. He lives within us. Remember, Paul has told us in Galatians that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. The Prince of Peace has come to take up abode in our breast forever. Yes, we have times where our hearts are troubled. That's why Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. But if we really think about it, and we think about what he's done here, he calms the winds, right? The exterior elements. He calms the heart and saves us from sin. We have every right to be sitting and clothed and in our right mind. I said we might think about those three things a little bit further. Sitting. Well, yes, you're sitting here. But the scriptures say in Ephesians chapter 2 that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ. That if we could go into the heavens, we'd find Christ there, and he would say, you're all seated in me. That's reality. And this man is seated not only at the feet of Christ, but in Christ. He was clothed. Yes, physically. The enemy wants to destroy the image of man, unclothe him. But here he's clothed. Are we not clothed in the righteousness of Christ? You have a robe that you cannot see that the Lord sees, the righteousness that he has imputed to your account. And in heaven you will have robes of righteousness wearing that are not yours, given to you by Christ, earned by Christ. This man was clothed. And in his right mind, I don't know what it was like for you to be converted and the derangement of your mind at whatever level it was, and now you could think clearly. You could think about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you had a peace which passes all understanding. No wonder he begged him, Lord, please, I must be in your presence. You have delivered me. It's interesting that when he went, wherever he went, I think he knew that the Lord was with him, that there was the Spirit of God anointing him, and that he had the peace which passes all understanding, having his Lord Jesus. It tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Only Christians can think right. I know there are great minds that can build rocket ships and submarines and things, but that's in the physical realm. He's given us a mind that can think about the Lord properly. It says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have the mind of Christ. We're going to think a lot better in heaven, I believe, and much greater things, things we can't think here. But now we can think on Christ, truly and honestly. And we can beg him in our hearts, Lord, let me be with you. And know he's always with us. And he said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. And we go sharing the gospel with our friends and our enemies. He's there with us. It's a wonderful life, isn't it? I mean, we preach the gospel. We can't even begin to tell how great it is. We stumble over our words. And it was Spurgeon who would cry every night to his wife and say, I didn't tell him how great it was, really. And people were saved in what he did tell. We're going to meet this man in heaven. We will see one sitting there, clothed in his right mind with the Lord Jesus, and all of us will be seated with him, worshiping him forever and ever. I want to press this as far as the Lord would have us press it. There are some who say that only preachers are to be preaching the gospel of Christ. I think that's very sad. Because this man from day one began to preach the gospel of Christ. I've heard some say, well, women really shouldn't be speaking about Christ because they're under the authority of their husbands. That's blasphemy. Who was the first person ever to preach the gospel? It was Mary Magdalene. Go tell the disciples that I'm risen. And he honored her who was at the cross and at the grave with being the first person ever to preach the gospel. And each of us have a story to tell. We have something we can tell the world of how he has saved us. And what a privilege that is. Yes, we have butterflies in our hearts. Lord, help me get over those. But you think about eternity, that person in front of you has to hear the gospel. And God has sent you in their presence at that time to tell them maybe one thing about the Lord or many things about the Lord. And to follow in the train of this man whom the Lord said, no, you can't be with me. I've got something else for you to do. Just tell all your friends what great things I have done for you. And God has done great things for us. And we can tell and keep telling. And on our deathbeds, be telling the people in our presence the last time how great the Lord Jesus is. We may not have a deathbed. The Lord Jesus may come today. Remember, in the day that you think not, the Son of Man comes. So if you don't think he's coming today, well, this is going to be disqualified for it. He's coming in a day like that, and coming as a thief in the night. This is the only day we have really to praise him, the only day we have to honor him, worship him. If you have not yet come to Christ, this is a wonderful day. We've just read about a person so powerful that he's in control of everything. He's in control of your life. And even when coming to him in this condition, he saved him. He didn't say, go back and get better. Get your mind straightened up. I can't have someone slobbering all over me here. He took him exactly like he was. And if you think there's a better day than now where God would save you, you're looking at yourself. You come just as you are. And you say, well, my heart is hard. I really don't even have a desire to be saved. I'd tell God that. Lord, my heart is so hard that I don't even want to be saved. Save me. I heard the testimony of a girl one time. She said that she hated God. She said, that's dangerous. That's very dangerous. If you recognize in your heart there is a resistance to the Lord, that's because we're bound in sin and cry out. As this man cried in some way, through all this demon possession, he was crying out. And you come to the Lord Jesus and find he saves anyone at any age who comes to him. You can't preach a more wide open gospel than that. Don't ever build a straw man and say, if you believe in the sovereignty of God, you won't preach. This man met the sovereign Jesus Christ, and that's all he did was preach. And so let's go and enjoy this privilege. It is a duty, but what a greater privilege it is that this swallows up the duty part, to just to be able to share what Jesus Christ has done for our souls. And someday we will meet him. We'll be in his presence, and that desire never to depart will be fulfilled. Can you imagine that? You say, you can't leave my side. Well, Lord, it's been 10,000 years. Are you sure you're not going to create another world and we'll have to go over there? No. If I do, you'll be with me wherever I am. That's powerful. A multitude no man can number following wherever the Lord Jesus is. When he creates a new heavens and a new earth, we'll be there. When he judges the angels, we will be there, never to depart. Don't you rest in that? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Well, let's honor the Prince of Peace with our lives and our hearts. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ has made it so that you are our Father, that we are adopted. We're your sons and daughters forever and ever. You are our God, and we are your people. We thank you, Lord, for keeping your word, fulfilling your covenant, and saving all of your people from their sins. Lord, I thank you that everyone in this room who's heard the gospel has been called to Christ. Lord, we pray that you give everyone in this room grace to come and to sit at your feet, and Lord, to be blessed by the words of the Lord Jesus, as he commands us to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavenly Father, we know that someday we will meet you. We want to meet you, Lord, in the righteousness of Christ and not in the iniquity of our sins. We pray you'd help us, Lord, to flee to you in all things. Father, I do want to pray particularly for Charles, and I thank you for bringing him here tonight. What a special privilege that you would bless him. Lord, you know that in the military he meets many people every day. I pray you'd make him a testimony of Christ in all that he does and he says, and that his life would so shine the Lord Jesus that people would ask him, what is it that makes him different? Pray you give him grace to turn away from every sin and temptation. And we know there are many in the military, even as there are many on the face of this earth. Lord, we just ask you to watch over him and help us to continue to pray for him. We pray you'd keep him safe. Lord, you'd preserve him and provide for him fellowship in Christ. Provide for him those who can encourage him and strengthen him in the Word of God. Father, we do pray for Jason and for Knight. Lord, for Tim, others who have now gone in other places, Lord, who are involved in the military, that you watch over them and keep them and bless them. Father, for all of our college students, Lord, watch over them. Cause them to be able to stand fast in Jesus Christ. And Lord, for each of our families in this church, help us, Lord, to honor you, Lord, to serve you together as one family in Christ. And Lord, help us as families to serve you as one body in Christ. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Help us to continue to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.
Please take your hymnals and turn to number 710. Stand with me as we sing, I Need Thee Every Hour, 710. Thanks to you for blessing us this day with being able to be together and to be able to hear your word. We ask for your Holy Spirit's work in our hearts to have true conviction of sin and true peace by faith in Christ. We thank you for Alan and his family and pray you bless them, and thank you for his labor. Thank you for Brother Mitch and his labor. Thank you for blessing us through them. We do pray for our pastor that you preserve him. Him and Miss Debbie, and bring them safely back to us, we ask. Pray you bless the rest of our evening. Grant us safety in our travels and grace to honor you this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.